I'd like to begin kind of on a lighter note. Raise your hand if you predict the Philadelphia Eagles are going to win the Super Bowl. Raise your hand. Raise them high. You don't have to be afraid. Raise your hand if you believe the New England Patriots are going to win the Super Bowl. Well, the Patriots have it by a long shot. Raise your hand if you just don't care, ladies. Okay. There you go. Men too. Good deal. Now, I'm going to make a prediction. I'm going to say the Patriots by 13. I don't know if I'm right or wrong, but I'm going to make another prediction, and I know I'm right with this one. I predict that if you're honest, you will raise your hand in the next few seconds. Raise your hand if you have ever suffered in life. It might be a financial loss. It might be a loss of health. It might be the loss of a loved one. It might be the loss of a job. It might be emotional stress that we're having to deal with. It might be the contemplation of some mess in our future. But every single one of us have experienced suffering on some level. Now, you don't have to raise your hand this time, but I'm going to make another prediction. Every single one of us will suffer again. Because that's life, isn't it? Just by means of introduction, I'm going to ask you to turn with me in your Bibles. How many of you brought your Bibles? Hold them up high in the air. Bibles, only Bibles. Hard copy Bibles. They're the only thing that counts. Okay, now that I've said that, raise your iOS device. Turn with me to Psalms 6. Psalms 6. I'm going to read a few verses in Psalm 6, and I'm going to ask you to see if you can relate to what the psalmist, whom many believe to be David, actually felt on this occasion. I want you to read with me verse 2, and then after we read the passage, I'll kind of paraphrase it for our thoughts. See if you can relate. Have mercy on me, O Lord, for I am weak. Literally, I am exhausted. I am feeble. I feel absolutely withered away. O Lord, heal me, for my bones are troubled, alarmed. Let me paraphrase that. This would be like you and me saying, I'm absolutely spent. Dear God, I don't know that I have the energy to get up this morning, and I don't know if I even care to. Can you relate? Now read verse 3. My soul is greatly troubled. Another way to translate that, my soul is greatly alarmed. Or here's another way, my soul is greatly afraid. But you, O Lord, how long? Let me paraphrase that. Dear God, I'm so afraid. How long? I'm afraid this will never end, what I'm going through. Will it? Can you relate to that? Now I'll drop down to verse 6. I am weary with my groaning. All night I make my bed swim. I drench my couch with my tears. Let me paraphrase that. I just can't sleep anymore. 2 weeks ago, I was in a state south of here, and I was visiting with a preacher friend of mine, and he's going through some very traumatic things with the congregation where he worships. Wonderful man. And it has weighed so heavily on his heart that he became sleep deprived. And he became so sleep deprived that one evening he was awake and he tripped, he fell, hit his head, and he had 2 brain bleeds and has actually had to go through brain surgery of recent. He's recovering, going to be a long road, but it all came from the sentiment of Psalm 6, verse 6. I just can't sleep because of what's on my mind, weighing on my heart. Can you relate? Now, verse 7. My eye wastes away because of grief. It grows old because of all my enemies. Let me paraphrase that. I have cried until I can't cry anymore. I don't think I have another tear in me to express my broken heart. Can you relate? You see, we're not the first to feel burdened by life. It is life. We can relate to David. So how do we get through times like this? I'm going to ask you to turn with me a few pages further into this great songbook of the Jews. Let's turn to Psalm 23. I like to call Psalm 23 the psalm that calms a troubled soul. Now, I'm reading from the New King James Translation, so read along with me in thought. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for His name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for You are with me. Your rod and Your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil, my cup runs over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Every time I find myself preaching a funeral and we're at the graveside before interment, I always read Psalms 23 without fail. Because I remember a time when I had to stand by the walls of that silent city of death and place someone that was very dear to me there. And on that same occasion, I read this psalm. And it means more to me today than it ever had before. So let's think for the next few minutes about the psalm that calms a troubled soul. And I believe we're going to see some things that can help us get through those difficulties that we are facing or will have to face as time yet comes. There's twice in this psalm, and I want you to see if you can find it, where David says, I shall or I will not do something. Two things. You don't have to read very far to come to the first one. First of all, he says, I shall not what? Beg pardon? I shall not want. Then you have to read a little bit further, but come down to verse 4 and see if you find another one. I will what? Fear no evil, or I will not fear. So we're going to take our study of Psalms 23 and we're going to segment it into two thoughts. Thought number one, with God as my shepherd, I will not fret. I'm not going to worry. Thought number two, with God as my shepherd, I will not fear. No matter what comes in your life, ladies and gentlemen, you don't have to fret over it. Why? God is my shepherd. No matter what you anticipate coming into your life, you do not have to fear it. Why? God is my shepherd. What a thought. What a thought. Now let's go back to the first of those two. I will not fret. Fret is a synonym for worry. All right, you want to do it? Raise your hand if you have ever worried. Okay, if you didn't do it, you're either asleep or you are a liar. We've all been there. But with God as my shepherd, I don't have to be there. I will not fret. I will not worry. Now watch how the Holy Spirit, through David, if he's the psalmist, fleshed that point out for us. Four things to remember that can help us not worry about the things we suffer. Thought number one, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want fret. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He makes me do what? Lie down, rest. Note that it says, He makes me rest. It is not in our nature to want to do that when we face the trauma of life. I mean, we're self-made people. And so we have to do something to get through this. And so we labor over, fret over, worry about, what am I going to do to get through this? Well, the first thing you need to do is rest. He makes me stop. And rest. There's a psalm that says, be still. And what? Know that what? You're not God. He's God. You be still and let God do what God does and then get ready to be amazed. Stop, rest, give it to God. In the New Testament, Philippians chapter 4, verse 6 says, in nothing be anxious. It's there. I think the King James Version says, be careful for nothing. In nothing be anxious, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And then verse 7, what a thought. If you do that, the peace that passes understanding will guard your heart and thoughts in Christ Jesus. When you and I learn to stop, rest, give the problem to God, there's a peace that overwhelms us and stands as an armed citadel in front of our hearts, in front of our minds, and says to worry, no, sir, you are barred from entrance. So I do not fret when I learn to stop, rest, give the problem to God. Thought number two, keep reading. He makes me to lie down in green, succulent pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He leads me. Someone is in control of your life. Either you're trying to control your life, your boss is trying to control your life, your spouse is trying to control your life. Men, amen. Careful. Or God is in control of your life. Now take that thought back to this passage. He leads me. You're following a leader. Who's your leader? And so the second thought here is stop, rest, give it to God, and then listen to God. He leads me. You let God lead you. Listen to what God has to say about your problem, about your life, about His care for you, your problem, your life. In 1 Thessalonians 4, verse 18, it says, comfort one another with these words, words from the Holy Spirit. And so I can open up this book and glean the greatest amount of comfort when I learn to listen to God. In the darkest hours of my life to this point, I had my mentor to come and visit with me one evening. His name was William Woodson. Some of you might have known Brother Woodson from his days at Lipscomb. And I was talking to Brother Woodson about a passage that disturbed me in Hebrews 12, and then we just talked. In this time of tragedy that we were going through, I said, Brother Woodson, I said, I don't have a daddy anymore. Could you just talk to me? Just talk to me. And he talked to me about a struggle that he went through in his life prior even to his Lipscomb days. And how that he went to his mentor, Franklin Camp. Brother Camp said, Brother Camp was one of these men from Alabama, deep Alabama broad. William, lay down there. He had Brother Woodson lay down on his couch. And then Brother Camp sat down in front of Brother Woodson on the couch, and he opened up the Psalms. And he just began to read the Psalms. On that evening, Brother Woodson shared that thought with me, and then he said, Dan, spend time with the Psalms. This is not the Bible that I was using then. After he gave me that recommendation, I began to spend time with the Psalms. And every morning I would wake up and I would turn to a psalm in succession. And I would read it and read it and read it. Every time I came to the word trust, I would put a box around it. I still do that in my new Bible. And I can't tell you the peace that came to my heart by listening to God. I do not fret, David says. I'm going to stop and rest, give it to Him, and then I'm going to listen to Him. Thought number three. Verse three, He restores my soul. There's a cultural background to those words. Years ago, I read a little book. I'd recommend it for your reading. It's called The Shepherd Looks at the 23rd Psalm. It was written by a man named Philip Keller. And he came to this particular phrase, and he talked about a cast sheep. Jerry, I'd never heard of a cast sheep until I read that book. What happens is a sheep, of course, it has all of this wool. It's top-heavy, and it falls down. And as a result of it being top-heavy, it cannot right itself up without help. If it stays in that cast condition, blood gases begin to build up, block blood flow, and the sheep begins to die from the outer extremities down. And it will perish as a cast sheep. But the shepherd comes and puts the sheep back up on its feet. And that's, he restores the sheep's life. And so here I am, thrown down by life, and this passage says, God, my shepherd, comes, and he puts me back up on my feet. And so the third thought here to help me with fret or worry is, let God do what God does in your life. Let God be involved in your life. Let him handle your problem. Now, if you forget everything else, remember this. God will not play tug of war with your problem. He picks up his end of the rope and is ready to help you with the problem. You pick up the other end of the rope and you're going to try to pull in the opposite direction, and God drops the rope. He wants you to do what you can, but you must give the problem to him. Stop, rest. Listen to God. Give the problem to him and let him work it out. I don't know about you, but me, when I've tried to work it out, I make a bigger mess. Amen? When God works it out, it's amazing what happens. He doesn't happen to work on the same calendar or time frame as I. And I really want God to get busy sometimes. But when I let him work it out, it's amazing what he does. The last thought along these lines of I will not fret, verse 3, he leads me in paths of righteousness. Why? For his name's sake. Walk with God down paths of righteousness. The fourth point to overcome fret and worry, always, always, always choose to do what God says is the right thing to do. Even if it's difficult, even if you don't understand it, always do the right thing to bring God glory. 1 Corinthians 10:31, whether we eat or drink or whatsoever we do, do all to the glory of God. I will not fret. The second segment of this psalm, I will not fear. Have you ever noticed in your casual reading of the New Testament how many times Jesus said, be not afraid? Go back, pick it up in the concordance. Look at those contexts. See what's happening. And all these different things. And yet Jesus said, does this happen to you? Don't be afraid. You having to deal with this? Don't be afraid. And almost with every single one of those, he either says it or implies it. Don't be afraid. I'm here. I will not fear. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, another way to translate it, perhaps more literally, yea, though I walk through the deep, dark, shadowy places where death abides, I will not fear. I will fear no evil. Now, there are four things to remember that can help us not be afraid about the future and what we think could happen. Or not be afraid even if it does happen. Thought number one, remember God is there. He's right there. I will not fear, for, verse 4 continues, you are with me. There's a passage in Hebrews 13, I think it's about verse 5, 6. The Lord himself has said, I will in no wise fail you nor forsake you. Fail means literally desert. And the word forsake is incredible. Ekatalipo. Say what? Lipo, leave. kata, down. Ek, a hardened form of in. I will not leave you down in that. I will not desert you and leave you down in that mess. I'm here. And the next verse says, therefore we can say the Lord is our helper. Remember, God is there. Thought number two, God really cares. Why should you be afraid? You are with me, your rod and your staff, they comfort me. God cares. He comforts us. 2 Corinthians 1, verse 3, He's the Father of mercies and God of all comfort, who comforts us in our affliction. Thought number three, He's there, He cares, and He's preparing the way for us in His providential involvement in life. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. And then a final thought, if we had the time to flesh out, God, through the Holy Spirit, shares in our feelings of affliction. You anoint my head with oil. 1 John chapter 2 talks about our receiving an anointing. And you look at the context, and the anointing is the receiving of the Holy Spirit. And of course, the Holy Spirit dwelling in us and the Holy Spirit in heaven making intercession for us. He experiences life with us and talks to God for us. And so God is there. God truly cares. God is preparing the way before us. And the Holy Spirit is there as one who shares in our lives. Why should I be afraid? Why should I be afraid? So as we close, three thoughts. Number one, David begins the psalm with a note of being content. The Lord's my shepherd, I shall not want. Like the little girl who quoted it and said, the Lord is my shepherd, He's all I want. Isn't that precious? David is content. The psalm ends and David is confident. Goodness, mercy will follow me all the days of my life. I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. He's confident. And between his being content and his being confident, you have his relationship with God as a shepherd. Thought number two, go home and read it again and watch the break. In the first three verses, he's talking about God. He does this. He does this. In the last three verses, he's actually talking to God. You're there with me. You do this. You do that. It's like David couldn't write about God until he had to just break out in conversation to God. Look at that relationship. Thought number three, don't look at your Bibles. This is a test. This is a test. What are the first three words of Psalms 23. Help me. The first one, the. That's good Southern, isn't it? If you're up north, it's the. The what? Lord is. Don't look. Don't look. What are the last three words of the psalm? The Lord forever. Now put the first three and the last three together, and you'll see why this is the psalm that calms a troubled soul. The Lord is the Lord forever. The God that shepherded David is the God that reaches out to you this very moment. As together we stand and sing.